Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
Everybody, Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci with you for another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. The team is off today following 2 days in a row of OTAs. They'll be back at practice tomorrow, Friday. And today we're going to go through some of the sound from the press conferences after yesterday's practice from the head coach, from the offensive coordinator, Kyle Shanahan. Lots to get to there, but before we get into any business, let me just say this. Happy anniversary to Notorious and Rhonda, 33 years today. That's a big number. It's impressive, Notorious.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I thank you on behalf of Rhonda as well. Yeah, 33 years, it's not a small number. it's a big and then I look around and check in on people, and it's kind of an accomplishment these days. So
it
we're very happy
is.
With that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm at 11. Thank you, my thank Sunday you. Was my 11th, so we're, you know, we're a third of
yeah,
where you're at, Notorious.
There you go. But that's it's all good stuff. And, really, really happy about able to celebrate that, celebrate the fact that we are going through OTAs, week number two, going to wrap up tomorrow. And, you know, I think there's a whole – clearly we've said this a couple of times, but you sort of live it on a day-to-day basis. A different vibe about this football team. And I'm
sure.
Kind of getting used to the fact that on a national basis, Nathan – there's still a conversation, a lot of it driven, yes, by Johnny Manziel, but more big picture thoughts. What happens is when people come to notice one thing about your football team, they start to talk about other elements of it. And
that's
I find
right.
that very interesting, right? They want to break down, like, okay, what else makes this Browns team relevant and possibly a team that could contend or a team that could make some noise? And that's what I find intriguing when you see these various rankings of like what you have going defensively, what you might have be going with your running game. And I'm hearing those kinds of the offensive line. And it's encouraging to hear that.
It's very encouraging. I've seen multiple places say they think this is going to be a top five defense. And that's teams that are watching this defense without three guys, basically, that are projected starters in the sense that, you know, Ataba Rubin has been sidelined. We know Desmond Bryant's been sidelined. Carlos Dansby's been sidelined. They'll all be back, and yet this defense continues to function at a very high level. And I think when people come in, they come to see Johnny, and they see him. And I thought yesterday he had his best day of practice, and really the progress he's making we'll get into. But it is very, very encouraging to me, the progress that we're seeing out of Johnny Manziel, especially against the blitz. His decision-making is so much quicker now. He's making the right decisions. I'm very encouraged by that. But you're seeing a defense that is fast. We heard Quentin Groves talk about that yesterday on the show. Just the overall speed of this team. I think it is a faster team, especially on defense. Jabal Sheard is flying around. I thought Paul Kruger had a great day of practice yesterday. Mingo is flying around. There's just a lot of speed, a lot of excitement. And the secondary is looking good because when Justin Gilbert, who has been around the ball a lot, but I think he's just a half a step slow right now as he's getting mentally where he needs to be. But you can just see the natural athleticism and instincts that he has. This is going to be a tough team to throw the football on and a tough team for quarterbacks to survive against.
Yeah, and that quickness you talk about on defense is very noticeable when you go over tape, too, and watch these
yeah.
practices and kind of get into how people are moving. And I'm finding myself even more intrigued by what I see from that defensive perspective, what is shot across from the line of scrimmage facing the offense. And you can see the movement. Guys like Paul Kruger. I mean, the weight, right? The
oh
weight loss that he has talked about and the I just think the guy is in better shape. Now, I'll say this. I don't think he arrived out of shape last year, but he was a bigger, thicker guy, and that's kind of how he played for the Ravens as well. But I think when he was in that defense with different components, different complementary parts there that opened some things up for him, obviously Terrell Suggs and so forth, it's a different story here when Moore is being targeted to you. And, yeah, yesterday was a particularly strong day for him. Just the way he's moving around, it's noticeable. And I can see he is being coached. He is being encouraged by this coaching staff. Explode off the ball. Just go for it. Don't do the hesitation thing. Don't try to do the head fakes and get the offensive lineman to commit first before you make your move, that slow rush thing. Go right for it. And he's doing it. And, again, in non-contact sessions, you see a guy, though, showing when they do get into hitting and certainly when they get into games. I think we're going to see a difference.
There's no question about it. When you watch him, he's never going to be considered the most fluid athlete out there. He runs in a very upright fashion, does Paul Kruger. But he is quicker, and he's getting – I think yesterday you could maybe make a case that he had about 5 sacks yesterday in the OTAs and the three-team sessions. He played very, very well, bounced back from what I thought was a little bit of a down day Tuesday and had a dominant day Wednesday. And the other guy who looks a little bit leaner to me but still is physically imposing but just looks fast – is Jabal Sheard. I think Jabal Sheard is in line in this defense for the situations they get him in, is in line for a mega, mega, mega season rushing the passer.
The guys who are going to see the playing time, the guys who are going to be prominent in this defense are the ones that demonstrate to these coaches day in and day out that they can get to the quarterback, that they will get to the quarterback. And, you know, it's one thing. You can generate pressure without necessarily putting the QB on the ground. But they absolutely, that's the mantra that you hear. Get them on the ground. I mean, get there to, and they are recording this as they grade these. The coaches, Jim O'Neill, the coaching staff on the defensive side, grading sacks as what would be a sack in a game. So even if we see a play to a completion or a throw after the fact, okay, that's fine. The quarterback finishes the play. Receivers finish their routes. But on the defensive side of the ball, if the player comes within what would be considered sackable range, that's a sack. And from what I'm told from the coaching staff, they're very thrilled by what they've seen on a regular basis, that they have potential playmakers. And Barkevius Mingo getting some love from this coaching staff. Yep. We know how Jim O'Neill feels about him, how he felt about him, wanted him in Buffalo last year when O'Neill was there with Patton. But to have him now in these ranks. And I think, Nathan, it'll be, you know, we're going to observe the whole story about how the weight goes for him, how much more he can gain. But I'll be honest with you, I think when all is said and done, they're going to try to make this work with whatever body type he brings to the table. And if it's tends to be a little on the leaner side, which is really what it is, Barkevius, and it's going to be. And I don't know that you can try to force – that would be the square peg round hole thing. I think you just try to maximize what that guy can do with the physical talent that he has.
I agree. And yesterday he had a good day getting around the edge, getting near the quarterback. Yes, he still struggles a little bit in the run game. And we heard Quentin Groves even said, listen, he's not a big guy.
No.
He's not a big guy. Don't take the wrong way, but he's not a big guy. But you know what he has is tremendous speed, tremendous quickness. He's got good lean around the outside. And there was one play that really stood out to me yesterday in the team session. It was the fourth play of the first team session yesterday. And it was a play-action pass, and Johnny tried about a 30-yard pass to Jordan Cameron, which was the right read. The ball was maybe a yard underthrown, so it ended up getting batted up in the air. And do you know who almost picked that ball off 30 yards down the field? Barkevius Mingo.
Yeah.
He had hustled back, gotten down there. He's so fast in space. And to see him kind of developing that game, that's not a play that he would have been anywhere near last year. Just isn't. He just didn't have those coverage thoughts, those coverage instincts. And to see him do that this quickly in this defense, playing faster, I thought was very encouraging. And, yeah, it was a great day for this defense. And another guy that I keep coming back to who continues to make plays for this defense is Darius Eubanks. This guy, as a coverage linebacker, former safety from Georgia Southern, a little maybe undersized slightly as a linebacker, but a big guy enough and great in coverage. He has those instincts. Had a great pick six yesterday off the hand of Tyler Thigpen, where he dropped back in his own coverage, made a very good athletic leaping catch, and was off to the races. He continues to get his hands on the football in pass coverage. He's a guy I'm encouraged about in what he's shown in the ability for this team to defend the pass.
Yeah, I think you're dead on about that in terms of just how much he's learned from 1 year just being around this and the coaching that he's getting from this particular staff that recognized in reviewing what he did last year, the weaknesses of his game, what he didn't know, what he didn't have the instincts for, and most of those apply to pass coverage because athletically he can get in the position to make the play, but you have to know what you're doing when you get there, and you got to know things like body control and mirroring and you know, being a defender, being a defensive back in a linebacker's body. Speaking of defensive backs, a little news, of course, today, and we are very happy to hear this. The Browns announcing that fourth-round draft pick Pierre Desir, the cornerback that they brought on, the man who came from Haiti to Cleveland, basically, with a stop in between at Lindenwood, where he played his college ball, has agreed to terms on a contract. So one in the fold from the draft class is done. I'm guessing that the dominoes will start to fall with the rest of the class. But this is such a neat story because we know the route that he took coming from Haiti to the U.S., started out in St. Louis, ends up, of course, with the Browns, and now playing in the NFL. And he has been one of the more impressive guys during these OTAs as well.
Yeah, and I thought he had a great day yesterday, did Pierre, and I'm glad that he's locked up. The dominoes will start to fall with these draft picks, as we said. But he's a guy, when he gets physical at the line, he can literally swallow up a wide receiver, throw off the timing of a play completely. I think he fits this press man system very, very well. He had a nice interception yesterday on the last play of the team sessions off of a deflected pass, showed his good ball skills. He was a playmaker, as we know, in college, on 25 interceptions during his time in college. So this is a kid that, as he gets acclimated to the speed of the game, because I think that's probably the biggest difference coming from a school like Lindenwood to the NFL. But physically, I mean, you love what you see from him. His ability to get his hands on a receiver at the line of scrimmage and not allow them to get off the line is very good. And that's one of the things, when you have a defense that's going to blitz, if you can throw off that timing on the outside with press man, you've already won. He's doing a very good job of doing that.
He really is. On the guest list today, we're going to have Solomon Wilcots from NFL Network and CBS Sports. You know, he's assigned to a whole bunch of games for the Browns,
and the
not
preseason.
Only during the regular season,
right.
He's going to be doing the preseason broadcast.
That's
yeah,
right.
Next to Jim Donovan for KYC's TV coverage. So he'll be a regular part of our team. And, of course, he's a regular part of this show. We always love Solomon's wisdom, as it were. And then Kevin Jones, our staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com, he's going to join us as well. We'll talk with both of those gentlemen about what they've seen in OTAs. What's been going on just around this football team is a very busy kind of stretch here of OTAs, getting some players signed. So a lot happening. And then as we get into the month of June, it'll be the final kind of weeks of preparation before things get shut down, before training camp. We're going to play a little fact or fiction today as well. We'll do that at 2:30. Going to hear from Solomon at 2. And then I mentioned Kevin Jones. He'll come up at the bottom of the hour. So we got a lot of show today.
We do have a lot of show, a big show, as always. We like to do that. We're rocking and rolling here in the off season, and there's a lot to talk about with these OTAs, and a lot to talk about based on what Mike Pettine had to say, what Kyle Shanahan had to say. So it is a time right now. I think there's a lot of good information coming out about this team, and you and I getting to watch these practices, getting to study it and break it down. I think we're starting to see a lot of things that, you know, at one point were just theoretical reasons for optimism. I think we're starting to see some real reasons for optimism about this team. Jordan Cameron, let me say this too. I hope the Browns can lock up Cameron and Sheard soon, because I think both of these guys are going to have phenomenal seasons. Cameron is dominating, and if Josh Gordon misses time, I think that's the number one receiver on this team. He's getting open. We talked about it yesterday, but again, another dominant day in the red zone for Jordan Cameron yesterday.
What I'm seeing in Jordan Cameron, for sure, you're right. The athletic dominance is there. It was there last year. It got him to the Pro Bowl, 81 catches. But more than that, I think is a guy who is learning, truly showing that he knows much more of what he is doing. You see a guy now who is studying the defense. Now, did he not study it before? Of course he did. But studying it in a way of knowing what he's looking for. And he's been working with his position coach, Brian Angelicchio, the new tight ends coach from the Browns, came from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a real kind of throwback coach who you know, believes in you get, and this all emanates from Mike Pettine, the head coach, but believes in you got to have fundamental awareness, fundamental understanding to play your position. And it isn't just about how much speed, athleticism, great hands you have. All of those qualities, of course, you want to maximize. But he has gotten through, I think, better than any previous coach to Jordan about the idea that you've got to read defenses. You've got to look at those coverages, understand what you're seeing when you come off the line of scrimmage, and that will take you to those wide open spots. And you and I have seen this regularly throughout these practices. You watch it on tape. It's stunning how wide open he consistently finds himself.
It is. It's crazy. No doubt about it. It's unbelievable how consistently he's getting open. The design of the plays as well are phenomenal, because there you got to give some credit to Kyle Shanahan. Some of the things that he is doing with his tight ends are great, and Jordan Cameron is benefiting, getting in positions where he can thrive and make big plays, and he's doing that consistently.
Yeah, he really is, and not just him. I mean, you see some of the routes Marquise Gray runs. You see the other tight end positions, and you see Gary Barnidge. Just watching him a little bit of a difference. I'm not going to say he'll elevate to the point of being any kind of a major difference-making receiving tight end. That's not what he is for this team. And the biggest hope is that he can supply the blocking when they have those formations. And a lot of formations of two tights to a side, you'll see a lot of those to the left or whatever in formation where they – and then motion a tight end over or go to the run strength in those formations. And really, it's just more – it's not – again, trying to understand how the scheme works. When it comes to the running game, these guys aren't trying to plow people over. They're kind of running in their flow. And you see Barnage's athleticism, you see Jordan Cameron's athleticism, and if nothing else, I'm not going to say I would call them stellar blockers right now, but they are guys who can at least draw the width of that defense with them, get enough interference, just get in the way of people. Sometimes it's just 1 or 2 seconds, 3 seconds of occupation as you're moving to one side or the other, and then the cutback lanes occur, and you see what can happen in this running game. You can envision some of these backs popping for some big gains.
This is a team that has that's creating with its zone scheme. It's creating a lot of cutback lanes. And I thought Ben Tate yesterday, Vic, had his best day in terms of his vision, his burst, and seeing some of those cutback lanes. And there were a couple runs where Ben Tate would have picked up big chunks of yardage on a cutback like that. You're right. It's about creating lanes and allowing the backs to accelerate through them, put the foot in the ground, get north-south. It's an interesting style because so much of it is the running game, and then so much of the passing game is built off of the play action and the misdirection of the running game. It's an completely different approach than what we saw last year from this team. That's why it's an approach that I think with the way this team is constructed is going to be much more successful and also gives you an opportunity to withstand whatever the Josh Gordon blow is when it's handed down.
Yeah. Again, with or without that guy on this football team, with or without a quarterback emerging, whether it is Brian Hoyer or Johnny Manziel performing at a lights out level, you still can envision this team's success being built on balance, because I think there won't be much lights out in the way of QB performance or passing game without that. And I think it puts undue stress. Yes, you know, the Browns found a way to make Gordon a very prolific receiver last year with the catches he had, with the three quarterbacks, with the mess that was the whole quarterback situation. But that absence of running game, I keep coming back to that in seeing that difference. When I watch When I watch this team practice now, it is night and day from what you saw last year in the way of hope that a running game can give you. Until we see it with pads on and executed and done, we don't see it. But the hope for there, to go back to your earlier point about maybe doing a lot of this stuff theoretically, conceptually, on paper, but when you see physically on guys in practice and how they move around and how they do things, I think there's a lot there that you can take away and say this could work, should work in the course of a real game. And we've got sound from that coordinator of the Browns, Kyle Shanahan. We'll get into some of that with him shortly as we move along on this Football Thursday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. He is the one and only Nate Dogg Zagura. I'm Vic Carucci. And this is ESPN 850 WKNR. Like the legend of the Phoenix.